The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and today we're talking skins matches. We're talking virtual matches, everything that's going on in this new world of golf. And then we're going to debate a little bit some of golf's most contested terms and terminology. So we'll get to that. But let me bring in the crew. Going around my screen here from top left, it's Mark Immelman. Hey, Mark.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, good. Thank you very much. It's sunshiny down here in Georgia. Golf courses are open. I've given a few golf lessons. I've got our team T-shirts in. And so yeah, it's a good Monday, man.
It is a good Monday. I'll bring in next Greg Ducharme. Hey, Greg.
Happy to be here. I can't wait for the T-shirts. They look great. Nice job, Mark. I'm excited for those. I will wear it proudly.
And finally, Kyle Porter. Kyle, are you feverishly refreshing Outlaw Tour leaderboards this morning?
No, I'm not. I was delving into the Oklahoma State history books with Matthew Wolf and Ricky Fowler on deck for the match we've got coming up. So, you know, just my usual Monday of going down memory lane with Oklahoma State golf.
Well, that's a perfect segue. Thank you. You're a professional. It's now official. We chatted a little bit about this last week. We speculated on it, but now the match being dubbed as Driving Relief is official. It's going to be Rory and Dustin Johnson versus Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolf. Greg, let's start with you. This is the first time we're going to see live golf in quite a bit. It's going to be an interesting format. It's going to be kind of teams skins play. What are your initial reactions to this now that this news is official?
Initial reports were, and again, my thoughts on the initial reports remain true of the teams. I have questions about the teams, but I've come around on those a little bit. The other thing, and what stole the show today to me, is that it's happening at Seminole Golf Club, and transferring from Admiral's Cove, which is a nice golf course. I've played it. It's a fine golf course, but it's not Seminole. And to get to see Seminole, that really, to me, is going to steal the show. I can't wait to see these guys battling out there. And I believe the course really ups the event. Now, of course, we're starving for any live golf we can get. We're not going to pass on anything. We're feverishly refreshing Outlaw Tour leaderboards right now. Of course, we would watch Rory and DJ play golf, and Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolf. Of course, we'd watch them play golf anywhere. But Seminole, that's going to really add some value for me. So I can't wait. That's the big news for me of the day.
Wasn't there supposed to be a U.S. amateur there?
Oh, is that true?
You're the guy that should be able to give us that information, isn't it?
I'll look it up. You guys keep going.
I was going to say, I think if you said it, then it must be true. We trust you on that.
He's still a commissioner, isn't he?
We haven't taken it away from him
yet. Everything.
So, Mark, what's really interesting about this is, you know, they're following very strict, whether it's CDC and or social distancing guidelines, which will also translate to the broadcast. So Mike Tirico is going to be at home. Rich Lerner, Paul Azinger, they're going to be offsite. I think there's going to be two on-course reporters. Talk me through how this could look with a production crew kind of all over the place.
Well, it works, and it's been proved so by PGA Tour Live, who when they don't have their major events or their large events or the DirecTV events, everything is produced from St. Augustine in Florida, where the host and the analyst will sit. There's relief over there. All the production is there. And then there's a remote crew that includes a director, the truck, and all the camera people, audio, and then the on-course rover. So Live does it week in and week out for the regular PGA Tour events, and they've done it with massive success. I mean, that product is just skyrocketed in terms of popularity, doing all the feature groups. So it's been done, and PGA Tour Live is involved with this. They'll be providing some of the production help, if I understand correctly. It is an NBC property, as far as I understand, a partnership between NBC and Sky Sports. So Live will be involved. They've got the know-how. They've got the means. They've got everything there in St. Augustine they need in terms of the production of the thing. And as far as the announcing goes, you know, when I've been on a crew in St. Augustine and you're looking at your host, it makes communication easy. It's kind of like this sort of a deal. But with Tirico in wherever he is, and then his analyst is Paul Azinger, you know, that'll be different. But I'm sure it's just like this. When people are on a Zoom call, you can watch your announce colleague. You can see if he's likely to say anything or if he stands back or sits back. So you'll still have some of the interaction, I would say. It won't seem too clinical. It'll be a little different, I think, to what folks are used to. But it can be done. And I tell you what, I don't care if there's no announcing. You show me four of these guys around Seminole, don't give me any sound, and I'll be quite happy, to be honest with you.
I think that's a really good point, because I don't think people realize the PGA Tour Live coverage is a perfect example, Mark, that the engine of that is not on site at the event every single week, which is a really good point. And yeah, to what we do here, to pull back the curtain a little bit, I can see visual cues. I can see these guys if they want to hop in and jump on a topic. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of that they'll figure out. Now, Kyle, we've gone back and forth over 7-8 weeks. When is golf going to return? A couple of weeks ago, we kind of went on record and said, will it be June 11th in Texas? Will that happen? To me, this feels like a practice run in some ways, kind of what can we do? I know there's only four guys on the course, but like, this seems to be like a very small trial run before we get back to full field PGA Tour events.
It kind of does. By the way, Walker Cup is the event that was supposed to be at Seminole. So, 2021 Walker Cup at Seminole, 2025 Walker Cup at Cypress. How about that?
Wow.
Dirty.
You want to make that team?
Yeah, no kidding. You might just Stuart Hagestad might be on both. He might just, you know, play all these courses over the next 10 years or whatever. I agree with you. I thought it was really interesting that they're having on course reporters. That I did not envision that. I'm curious to see how, because it seems like when you're talking about, you can't help but compare this to the Tiger Phil Brady Peyton Manning match. Mm-hmm. And it seems like this is a much more PGA Tour centric, like the PGA Tour is kind of around this one. Whereas the Tiger Phil seemed like kind of them doing their own deal. Not that the PGA Tour wouldn't support it necessarily, but this one just seems more like, hey, the PGA Tour is very much behind this thing, which makes me think that yes, it's sort of a trial run, a trial balloon, if you will, for what we're going to see at Colonial. I think the problem, like, you can't test run for, I think, what will be the biggest problem for these guys, which is what we've talked about, which is travel, which is getting there. Yeah. There's only four guys. There's only whatever, eight guys, if you include caddies, at this deal. Now, there will be more people involved in that, but that's the part that I think I don't even know that you necessarily need to trial run everything else. To me, it's all about the travel and how are you going to make that happen at a bigger event that is very much unlike this one.
Yeah, we'll see. And on that point, I was kind of surprised that maybe the new and revised schedule wasn't more like there wasn't another Florida swing or a Northeast swing or things like that. It seems to be they're just flying all over the place, Kyle, right?
Yeah, which is just seems, I mean, is there going to be like a big, is Jason Day renting out a bunch of RVs to like transport people across the country? Jimmy Walker? Well, how's that going to go?
Yeah,
Well, the way I sort of see it, because if you watch this thing, you've got some huge organizations jumping in behind because of the charitable aspect of it. I mean, Farmers Insurance with $1 million for that Birdies and Eagles Challenge. And then you've got the other organizations chiming $3 million in. And I would not be surprised whatsoever, given their current involvement with the tour, that a NetJets and all these sorts of folks don't step up and so say, okay, now we want to be partners. Yeah, we'll fly the folks to and from for some sort of a deal. So I would expect that the transport will probably be figured out, because let's face it, a number of these guys aren't sitting on Delta 37C anywhere. And so,
yeah, but no, I disagree. The majority of them are, right? Like, not everybody's Rory or Ricky or whoever. Like, and do we think NetJets is going to fly however many people are involved, 400 people, to all these different events?
Well, there's more organizations than NetJets that do this sort of chartered travel. So I wouldn't be surprised, because I have seen chartered flights before from the John Deere to the Open or wherever the case right. may be. So this is being taken care of. Trust me. I mean, for what I'm more concerned about is what us CBS crew are going to be doing en route to Colonial, for argument's sake. Because we were on a call the other night where there may be potential quarantining for a few days. Who knows? So, but as far as the players are going, I think there'll be something figured out, because every organization nowadays, if I'm a chairman of an organization, I want to be seen to be doing the right thing. And yeah. There will be partnerships that are built out of this, of that I'm convinced.
NetJets, if you're listening, we're going to need a jet in Mark's front yard to get him to Colonial. All right, Greg. So let's talk a little bit about kind of handicapping this a little bit and what you expect, because we heard Rory say something like, you know, he didn't touch golf clubs for 7 weeks. We saw Shane Lowry chunking chip shots like I was. Like, some of these guys have not picked up golf clubs. Like, what caliber of golf do we expect to see when these guys actually teed up?
You look at the Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson side of things, and you're talking about, I mean, if you're going to have a debate on who the most talented individual is on the PGA Tour, I think that's where the debate kind of starts and stops right there. You're dealing with two extremely talented individuals, and I'm of course leaving out Tiger and Phil. These are kind of the in your younger
you group going?
Of
players. Keep going. Yeah. With your
okay, these are two of the best. We'll say two of the most talented individuals in the game, and it seems to me like a Rory McIlroy, a Dustin Johnson, they're probably amongst the least susceptible to risk to rust. In my opinion, they're kind of. Seems to be an extremely natural game. Now, that's an outsider's perspective, outside looking in. You don't know what it actually takes in their daily routine. But to me, Rory McIlroy has 2 weeks to prepare. He's going to come out and look like the best player in the world. Dustin Johnson has 2 weeks to prepare. I think he's going to be ready to go. And if he hasn't been playing already, I think you're going to see some really nice play out of him. Now, on the other side of things, I don't know much about what Matthew Wolf has been doing, but I know Ricky Fowler has been playing with Justin Thomas, and they've been playing with Bellotta balls and Persimmon Woods, and also JT posted a picture of a scorecard, and Ricky Fowler shot 61 and beat him. So
wasn't this event to me Persimmon has, clubs and stuff like that.
I think they were two separate things.
Okay.
They played left-handed as well at one point.
Right. They've been playing. They've been finding things to do. And Ricky Fowler, to me, is a guy this event has written all over it. I would not be surprised to see him go out there and shoot a really, really good round and kind of surprise some people. Because you look at it on the surface, and it looks extremely lopsided until you see – just based on world golf rankings, it's extremely, I mean, Ricky Fowler's down to 27th in the world. So it's extremely lopsided, but I do believe that it'll be, especially in a team skins event, probably a little bit more challenging to separate yourself as a team if you're Rory and DJ.
Well, we will find out on May 17th at Seminole. But gentlemen, if you don't want to wait until May 17th for a little competitive golf between professionals, the European Tour is having virtual events. So they are going to be 5 one-round tournaments hosted by TrackMan. The headlining players include Martin Keimer, Joost Luiten, Michael Renzo Vera, Lee Westwood, and Bernd Wiesberger. Mark, how is my pronunciation?
Points for the accent attempt. That's good work there, my friend. No, it's you did pretty well, Jost Leighton. But otherwise, we're fine. I mean, you did a great job. I've always had high respect for the European Tour and what they do with their social content. I mean, these guys, honestly, with respect to the Tour and all the other organizations, the European Tour guys are leading the charge. I mean, some of these things they've done pre-Ryder Cup, where they had like Rory and company in a car calling up Thomas Bjorn saying they needed a cryo chamber in the team room. And they had him going on. I mean, this, it takes buy-in from the players. And you know, I'm interested at this. It's an idea that's been pitched to many folks. But as far as the comparison between Rory, DJ and company playing 18-hole skins and me watching five guys play on their simulators, sorry, not so much.
Not exactly the same thing. Kyle, it is going to be the winner will receive $10,000 to give to a charity of their choice. I kind of agree with Mark here. This will hold me over. This will be like a little nugget, a little appetizer before we get to see, you know, Rory, DJ, Ricky, and Wolf go out there, and that'll be kind of a small plate, so to speak, before we get the entree in June. So we're getting closer. What do you think about this event the Euro Tour is doing?
It's coffee golf, but instead of us drinking coffee, everybody will be drinking coffee because they'll just be sitting in their living rooms also. Whatever. It's fine. It's something. You know, if you had to pick a tour that was going to do it, you'd pick the European Tour will do anything.
They're
right?
The best.
Which is great. Like that is not a slight at them. I think awesome. But yeah, I'm not going to like be live blogging it or anything.
Yeah.
No, that would make it worth my while. You know, if KP was there with the Twitter and commenting on every second shot aside, I'd be all engaged.
I love what the Euro Tour does though, like the 500 chances to make a hole in one. Like they're very, very good at this stuff. But yeah, I'm not sure if this moves the needle.
I would watch, no lie, 2 straight hours of the 500 chances to make a hole in one.
Me too.
Like get Thomas Peters out there, get all the guys that are just come, get John Rahm out
John
there.
Rahm. Yeah. The combustible guys.
Oh my God. Get, has Tyrrell Hatton?
Tyrrell
done
Hatton.
It?
I think he did.
Did he do it?
I think so.
I think he did. The best one I think was, Andy Sullivan.
Didn't Andy Sullivan almost make it on his first shot? And then like he almost jars it for shot number one, and then oh man, that was so good.
Yeah, it's so good. But yeah, this kind of brings up a broader question that we were discussing a little bit off air. Are we concerned about because I think you look at the PGA Tour and you're like, okay, they seem pretty set, you know, going forward. Is there concern about non-PGA Tour organizations, including maybe the European Tour, in terms of the financial viability going into the future? I mean, how much have you guys read or thought about some of that stuff?
So Greg,
I read,
go ahead, Greg, but before you say that, because you actually brought this up before we went live, I think the jarring comparison here, and both are doing great and all that stuff, but when the PGA Tour has, I don't want to call it the buying power, but essentially the buying power to get millions of dollars donated in their event, and the European Tour is doing $10,000 to the chosen charity. Like both are great, obviously, but I think it's a stark contrast, Greg.
It is a stark contrast. And you can look at, there are a number of things you can look at. One being the FedEx Cup bonus pool versus the Race to Dubai bonus pool. You're talking about $70 million if you combine FedEx and Wyndham Rewards to $10 million. And it's a really stark contrast, as you said. Now, I read a very interesting article in the Global Golf Post, and basically they highlighted a lot of these things that you mentioned. The efforts that the European Tour makes in social media are great. Everybody enjoys them. It gives them a look of being cool, fun, and hip, willing to try anything. It's strongly appreciated, and I haven't heard anybody say that it's a bad idea or that they're not doing a great job. Everybody is on the same page that they're doing a great job, but the timing of this coronavirus has been really, really bad for them. These things on social media cost them a significant amount of money. They went through a revamp of their website that cost them a significant amount of money. And basically the European Tour's big cash cow, the thing that makes them large majority of their dollars is the Ryder Cup, to the point where, which only cashes in every 4 years, their budgets are on 4 year cycles because they're reliant so much on the Ryder Cup. So the promotion is great, but in a time like this, it's turned out to be something of harm. And I worry that what we heard with the purses being cut and the courtesy cars being cut and the elite player lounges being cut, I worry that that's just the start of something that is much more severe.
Yeah. So real quick, two things on that. One, I think people don't realize how dependent they are on that Ryder Cup revenue. And I think you have to use that as a lens through which to view some of like the way that we're talking about the Ryder Cup right now of like, oh, well, if they just bump it to 2021 and 2023, and you're like, well, can you even do that if you're the European Tour? Like, can you float that financially? I have no idea. That's nothing that I'm like reporting or anything. I just think that they are so dependent on that revenue that if you move it out, it becomes problematic. And then the second thing is, I think you have to wonder, like, and we've talked to everybody, this is like the biggest open secret in golf of like the World Tour thing. Like, is that something that becomes as a tour like that maybe becomes a little bit more vulnerable? Is there the opportunity there for you to combine everything and create this global tour? I don't know if that's what evolves out of the pandemic, but I do think it's more on the table than it was, say, 4, 5, 6, 7 months ago.
I wonder on that. Another thing that was mentioned in this article was the TV deals and how the TV deals for the PGA Tour are extremely lucrative, as we all know. But when you get into the European Tour TV deals, they're a little bit different for reasons more than just the fact that it's not the PGA Tour. You're talking about a landscape that is quite broad, and you have coverage over the entire world, multiple time zones, multiple week to week, the amount of geographic land that the European Tour covers versus the PGA Tour is a lot more. So I wonder if spreading into a global tour could be somewhat problematic. Yes, the PGA Tour has events in there. There is a swing through Asia. There are events throughout the world, but when they're concentrated and they tend to be in the fall time, would that play into a television contract in any way? I don't know. So I have some concerns about the global tour, but I think the PGA Tour could possibly run a secondary tour somewhere else in the world, like they do with PGA Tour Latino America and PGA Tour China and the Mackenzie Tour and things like that.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there because there is a lot that we will see as golf returns and what the new normal is. On the other side, we are going to debate some of golf's most contested terms. But first, let's take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do. Like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account. Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
And we're back. All right, gentlemen, this is inspired by Golf Digest Shane Ryan and his recent article where he basically said, hey, here are some of the most contested terms. I think, Mark, this is right up your alley, considering what you can and cannot or do and do not say specifically on air. But we'll start with this one, Mark. And I have to admit, I did not know this was really even a debate until like a week ago. Can golf be a verb? So is that like what? I'm going golfing or golfing. I played golf?
You know what? This is one of the list of these that I'm sort of fluid on because, look, just to put me in context, I'm the old guy in the group. We know that. I use terms like the Twitter and the YouTube and such. Greg has made that point. and I am dictatorial when it comes to texting and punctuating sentences correctly and using, you know, capitals and such. That winds me up if you misspell something. But I've been the guy over recent years that will say, have you been golfing lately? It's sort of become the vernacular, which as I look at myself, I'm like, I must have taken a step away from who I really am. But I'm loose on this one. So I'm like, yeah, you can go and golf. You know, it doesn't make sense. But golfing to me nowadays has become a thing.
I was trying to figure out like how, which version of this I use. And Kyle, I think I'm with Mark on this. I say, hey, we went golfing. We were golfing. Let's go play. I think I use them kind of interchangeably. I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah. I think it bothers me the least because it affects me the least. I don't really ever like use it in like work, in my work world. Like I don't say like Rory went golfing today.
Come on,
like,
do it in the next office. Oh,
no. Well, I just there's never a context in which that like happens. So I don't know. This is the one that I'm sort of the most probably. I don't know. There might be one or two others, but just dismissive of because I'm just like I don't whatever. Like I don't care.
I can see this. They were golfing on a late Sunday afternoon. Rory en route to the green jacket in the career Grand Slam.
Greg, do you have a hot take on this?
This one bothers me.
This one bothers me
more than any others on here. It sits wrong with me. I'm uncomfortable. My heart rate starts to go up and flutter when people say this. It doesn't feel right to me. It's are you going basketballing later?
Yeah, you're going. You're hooping. You're hooping.
I mean,
you're balling.
The only one. Yeah. There's only one.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's true.
But balling is a verb. Now that doesn't mean necessarily playing basketball. It means playing basketball quite well, in my opinion, anyway.
Who made that? Who made that a verb?
Huh? I don't like it. Do you golf? Oh, I know somebody and he golfs. It bothers me. It's something that you play. It's not something, it irks me the wrong way. So no, I'm totally against it. It cannot be a verb.
I was not expecting you to be the one who had the hot take on that. I'm glad you did though. That was a nice surprise.
Here we are.
Now I feel like we are going to get some hot takes about this one. Albatross versus double eagle. I think I have my own hot takes on this, but Mark, let's start with you. I think there's one answer here.
There should not even be a debate. I was mortified when I saw this comparison on this list of stuff. Double eagle, that is just that is down there with Beelzebub to me. That term belongs in purgatory and slightly below. Don't even bring this to me.
It doesn't even make sense, Kyle. Like, okay, you've
it's
got
nonsense.
Birdie is one under. So two under should either be double birdie. Or if you're going to go
double birdie,
eagle, that's fine. Okay, so eagle at minus two, but then three under, like a double eagle should be four under. Like twice, you know, minus two doubled is minus four. I don't understand this. It's so easy to just get a bigger bird each and every time. Like this is a double eagle should not exist. It's an albatross.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very straightforward. One of my friends who's really bad at golf actually came up with a system one time in which he doubled the par. So every par four that he played was a par eight. So he had to come up with new terms for like like under par. So if you made a seven, that was a birdie.
Sure.
And then like a six was like a big birdie. And then so like I think like in that instance it would apply, but double eagle otherwise, just get it out of here. It's dumb.
Well, it reminds me of when kids are going to play golf and they have the par limit, and they say when you get to double par, then you have to pick up your golf ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a question for Greg. Greg, a hole in one and a par five, do you know what that term is?
Man, that's four under. I could go with double eagle for that. No, I don't. I've never heard of such a thing.
It's actually a condor.
It's Google. A condor.
It's a condor. Really? Go check the Google.
Like a, have that people sounds like done a, that? That sounds like the setting for a new Ricky Fowler commercial involving farmers.
Turkey vulture.
Turkey vulture. Turkey vulture.
Big birdie.
Greg, so on the other side of par, though, you've got bogey, double bogey, triple bogey. You just keep going. Are you going to surprise us with a hot take on this one?
No. This one, to me, I feel, I would say, less passionately about it than the rest of you. Although I'm definitely, it makes more sense. Double eagle doesn't make any sense. Other than the fact, the only thing about this one is it's so rare. It's like a condor. Nobody's making a condor, so it doesn't really matter what it's called. There, albatross, an albatross or a double eagle is an extremely rare thing, and so it doesn't come up very often. Kyle's likely not going to write about it more than, you know, a handful of times in a year. So it definitely doesn't really irk me that much. And a double eagle, the only thing that I can reason my way through on this is, hey, it's better than an eagle, but it's still, there's no logic to it. So I'm definitely on the albatross side. I just, you know, that's where I am.
It doesn't make any sense. All right, Mark, yeah. I think we're getting into some of the telecast terms here. For
yeah, we
you.
Are.
So sand trap versus bunker. I don't really care what you call it, but I'm sure there is a guideline that you follow, Mark.
Well, it depends on what side of the Atlantic you find yourself, I guess, first off. You know, if you're European influence, it's a bunker and it's a grass bunker. And because it's derivative of a bunker in wartime, you know, because you're sort of hidden behind something underground. Over here in the States, sand trap is a bit more acceptable. But from a broadcast point of view, a sand trap is kind of frowned upon a little bit. There are certain places that you better not say sand trap. And for me, it's a bunker. But I'm sort of wishy-washy on this one, to be honest with you.
Why is sand trap frowned upon?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not a decision maker here. I just know what I'm supposed to say and things I've got to avoid. And so I will always say bunker. You'll probably, if you hear me say sand trap, it was a mistake on my behalf.
You're being held hostage by somebody.
Someone, yeah,
that's
someone
how we'll know.
We'll send help. If you say sand trap, we'll send help.
Yeah, exactly. That's like the secret word. What's that? The safe word, right?
Safe word.
Yeah, I'm with Mark. Bunker. I don't know. I don't. I kind of feel like this, like I do, or about this, like I do with golf being a verb. I'm just kind of like, I don't care that much. I probably lean toward bunker, but I don't feel any passion about it.
So for me, I'm definitely bunker on this. And for a couple of reasons. One, as Mark alluded to, there's some historical reference to it. Second, as a coach, sand trap has a negative connotation to it. You're trapped. This is a bad thing. You don't want
most folks are there.
Yeah, that's, well, I thought that was the point. It is a bad thing. It's not a good thing.
If you're going to tell yourself that you're trapped, then you're going to be trapped. I don't want you to tell yourself you're trapped. This is a bunker. We learn how to hit bunker shots and we can get out of them. So I am 100% all in bunker on this one.
I like how Rick and I and even Mark are just very like ambivalent about these, and Rick has like a 5-step plan to change each one of them into what they actually should be. Or excuse me, Greg. I said Rick. Greg.
Yeah. Yeah, I've thought about these things. These come up all. They bother me.
Yeah, no, Greg is like pacing his living room.
Yeah,
right
he
now.
Is.
I just need to recognize Kyle for use of the word ambivalent. That is a serious contender for word of the day. Nice job,
thank you. Do you guys have any other? I was talking about this with some friends the other day. They don't cover golf, but they were asking if I had any pet peeves, like as it relates to the broadcast, like when announcers say something that is just really just grind your gears or frustrating. I couldn't really come up with a ton. One of the ones that I've heard that annoys one of my friends who is in the industry and is a broadcaster is when an announcer says, well, he's got less than driver here. Like, well, that's, there's like 12 different clubs that could be like, what do we...
There is a graphics guy who works for NBC, works for across the platforms, really. A lot of them do. And I said that one time, and he got the producer to get in my ear and say, now that you've used that, you have to use more than putter on a future call. So if you've got less than you, he's got more than putter. And there are a few of those. One that winds me up to that point is if an announcer, and I'm calling myself out here, looks at you and goes, well, this putter's makeable. Surely every putter's makeable. Every shot is makeable, right? So if you tell me it's a makeable putter, I'm like, oh, really? Didn't realize this one.
Yeah. I definitely give, there are some of those that you roll your eyes at, but I give these guys a little bit of leeway. I mean, I don't think it's a very easy thing to do, right? I mean, there's a lot of airtime to fill, and there are things that we say that we're used to saying. Like we've always done things a certain way, and these are some sayings that come up, and some of them may not be all that rational, but I don't necessarily give them too much of a hard time over it.
Hey, to that, I want to say to you guys and everyone listening to this, we talked about PGA Tour Live earlier, and they're putting out some cool content as well. And every Friday, they have a You Call It segment. Go and look on their Twitter handle. And they show three clips, and you can submit your calls. And if you win, then they repost these things, and you get a little bit of a brouhaha made about you. So
it's got to be so, I mean... I have a lot of respect for Dan Hicks and guys like Jim Nantz. Like, it's just, it's really hard. Like, it's not, I think people sit at home and they're like, oh, this, you know, Joe Buck sucks. And it's like, actually he's really good. And what he's doing is very difficult to do. One that I use, by the way, that I annoy myself when I say it, but I still say it often. Oh, it's a ball striker's course. Striker's course. And it's like, well, no crap. Like, they're all, I mean, like, that's the deal. Like, that's the game. Like, what am I, why am I saying that?
Which makes sense. To me, it makes sense. I mean, a ball striker's place is somewhere that's hard and fast and not very receptive, and you better strike the ball well to be able to contend. So I think it's a shortcut. You know, because a lot of announcing is brevity. You've got to say something insightful in a few words. And ball strikers is a sort of announcing vernacular. It's kind of jargon, I guess.
All right. This next one, I feel like we only get access to a couple times a year, but it's tied versus all square. Now, Mark, we'll start right back here with you, because this has changed recently, right? Didn't this used to be all square, and now we're going to tie? Like, what's happening here?
Oh my, you are opening up scar tissue for me because I was on the announce crew at the Dell Match Play shortly after the terms had been changed. And I saw the folks in the television compound scrambling to change graphics that had been built many moons before. And then we were given this list of things to say, like, I didn't even think Dormy was a thing and all square and tied. And I was like, why are we doing this? All square is all square is all square. And I didn't even change. I didn't use the term tired. I think I used it once. But my producer was moaning at me nonstop. He's like, it's tired now. And I'm like, no, it's all square in my world, and it will always be all square. Respect to the USGA.
Kyle, all squared or tied?
It's all square. Tied is just, yeah, it's like a double eagle. Like, just get it out off my television.
I love it. Greg?
I'm in the all square category too. I don't necessarily understand why we're, look, it's like we just said about sportscasters. There are certain things that you say that are going to come out, like it's a ball striker's golf course. I've used that one countless times and will continue to. We say certain things, and this putt is to square the match. That's golf. And so I'm in the all square category.
But part of me feels like we're doing some of this stuff like tied to like include people who don't follow golf. And it's like, my man, like if you're watching like a Friday morning match at the Dell Technologies, like you're pretty into golf. Like you're going to know what all square is. Like I think sometimes we do these things and we're like, oh, well it'll bring more people in. And I'm not against like having public courses and opportunities for kids to play and all that stuff. But tied versus all square, it just seems silly.
Or if in within 3 minutes, if you can't figure out what all square means and they're showing you the scorecard, like I don't think Tide's going to help you. Like it's not that difficult. All right. This next one, this kind of like, I understand which each one is, but I don't know if it's kind of like double eagle where I don't think it makes a lot of sense. So there's two here. So Mark, it's alternate shot versus foursomes and then better ball versus four ball. So where do you lie on those options?
If it's okay with you, Rick, I'm going to punt right now to Greg because I have a feeling that this one might be right in his wheelhouse. I'll follow him.
He has a big smile on his face.
Well, I'm just happy to be here with you guys. So, of course, I'm smiling. To me, I prefer alternate shot because it's just it tells you exactly what it is. This is alternate shot. It's black and white. There's no figuring it. Wait, four sums. Okay, four sums. That means that you're hitting the ball some of the time. So that's alternate shot. I'm not into
that's not what it means, right? I like that. That's a good way to remember it.
That's how I remember it. I don't want to have to do a conversion in my head. Alternate shots, alternate shot. Better ball, it's the same thing. It makes more sense than four ball. The thing that does get me is best ball. Best ball gets thrown around. Best ball is scramble. Best ball is better ball. Best ball is actually best ball. It takes over all of these things. And, you know, better ball to me, I'm a fan of.
Okay. Kyle, I understand four ball. Okay. They're playing four balls. Four sums. I guess there's still four of you out there, but it's alternate shot. I don't understand how that makes sense to call it four sums.
Yeah. It should be alternate shot and four ball. That's the straightforward way to say it. I as somebody who has messed this up for the last 8 presidents and Ryder Cups every single time, give me alternate shot and then give me four ball, because in four ball there's always four balls in play. Like that's what you're playing four balls throughout the entire hole, and then you take the best two at the end or whatever, and that's how it should be.
Mark, is it four ball and alternate shot? Is that the right combo?
This is one of those things where it depends where you grew up. You know, where I grew up, it was always foursomes because it was the RNA overseeing rules. So in the rest of the world where the RNA oversees the rules, it's foursomes. And to us folks, that's natural. You come to America and it's alternate shot. And you bring up a good point. Alternate shot is easy to understand, but it's one of the things I'll never forget when we moved over here. My father said to me, he goes, America makes the best road signs. They are impossible to miss. And they're also very easy to understand. And it might not make sense, but just follow the road sign. Now, if you over here in the States and you pull into a parking area, there will be a sign that says no parking written out. Over somewhere else, there'd be a P with a line through it. And that's just how the United States works. So alternate shot works over here. Foursomes works elsewhere. I love the term foursomes. I do. As far as the better ball or best ball or four ball is hard to understand. So I will always gravitate to better ball or to best ball.
Speaking of the RNA, one thing I think we should adopt here in the US is games. So not tee times, not groups, not pairings, game 21, mm-hmm. game 25. I think that's awesome.
That's pretty strong.
I'm a fan of that. I like it. I like the games too.
That kind of leads us into our next one, and I have a feeling we'll get a consensus here. The British Open versus the Open Championship, Greg. This is, I think we'll all match on this one.
Yeah, if it were the Open Championship from the dawn of time, if it were always, and if there were never a British Open, I could go with it. But the fact that it was the British Open and it's shifted to just the Open. I mean, are they going to play it outside of Britain at some point? Where do we? I know you play it in because Scotland and Wales, isn't that part of Britain here, Mark?
It was originally the Open Championship,
right? And then it shifted. And then it shifted to the British Open, and then now it's back to the Open.
I'm going to be the stick in the mud here. It's the Open.
The funniest,
not even the Open Championship, it's the Open.
The funniest thing that Nick Faldo has ever said was he was on a, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. He was on one of those pre-event conference calls that they do like midweek or whatever. And he said, I don't get it. Like, it used to be the Open Championship. Now it's just the Open. In 5 years, it's just going to be the, like, we're just going to call it the, which I thought was really funny. I'm with Mark. I think it's the Open. I think that there's this like weird backlash of like, there's this like, it gets politicized, honestly. Like, this weird thing where it's like, it's the British Open. And you're like, well, okay. Like, do you, like, and then like Europeans get mad and like there's all these weird things. I just think the Open sounds coolest. Like, is that a bad position to take that I'm saying the one that I feel like sounds the coolest?
Well, no, for me, does. I mean, go ahead.
Britt. No, after you go.
I was Britt. Just going to say, to me, the Open is the U.S. Open. I grew up here, right? I was born here. This is my
speaking
national
of,
Open.
Speaking of politicizing things.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not saying that's proper. But I just, to when the Open is called the Open, not the British Open, to me, it's like, that should be, that one's in Britain. That should be the British Open. This one's in the US. That's the US Open. There's an Australian Open in golf and in tennis. And that's, there's a Scottish Open. That's the Scottish Open. It just, it makes a little bit more sense to me. So I'm definitely in the British Open camp.
Rick, okay. What are you?
So I always thought the British Open was a very American-centric way of just saying like that championship across the pond. So I always thought it was, I always thought it was kind of a little bit, I don't want to say lazy, but like very American-centric. So like, okay, so I'm from Philadelphia originally. If I go somewhere else and on the menu it says a Philly cheesesteak, that's not a cheesesteak. You shouldn't have to tell me that it's a Philly cheesesteak if it should just say cheesesteak and it should be good. I kind of feel like similarly, you don't have to say it's the British Open. It is the Open Championship.
Wow. Well, no, I didn't think this is where we were.
Rick, either did I.
You're on an island, Greg. Greg Island.
well, check this out. What's surprising to me is through all of this, there's been so much agreement between Kyle and myself. I'd want some investigation to start. but bear this in mind, okay? The Masters was originally the Masters Invitational. Then it was the U.S. Masters for a while. And now it's the Masters. You guys can say it in the American accent. That is such a cool sound. The Open. But I'll tell you, you use the term grinds my gears. It winds me up when someone over here talks about the U.S. Open as the Open. And I'm like, it is the U.S. Open. It has been the U.S. Open. It always will be the U.S. Open. Even Curtis Strange, he talks about winning the Open. I'm like, Curtis, you won 2 U.S. Opens. You never won the Open.
I understand where you're coming from with that, right? You're getting the name is incorrect. It's shortened. I can buy that. I just wonder how many Americans feel the same way as you. Like, I wonder which side the general public would be on.
We'll do a Twitter poll.
It'd make a great poll.
So here's a question, Greg. What do they call waffles in Belgium?
I guess
they call them Belgian waffles.
I guess they just call them waffles.
So this is so highly contested that we're actually going to bring in producer Jacob. It needs a word on this as well, I believe.
I do, because we all seem to have come to consensus that it's the Open Championship on this podcast, but for SEO, search engine optimization, it's the British Open all day, baby, which ultimately is going to keep the coffers full here. So if you see on the title for the podcast, British Open canceled, that's why, baby.
That's why.
that's a great point, and that's something that we've talked about editorially is and I can't remember, we've done this 100 different ways. I think the last instruction that we got was British Open in the title, the Open Championship first reference in the article, and then the Open thereafter, which just makes the whole thing even more confusing probably.
Yeah,
well, you know, last year the PGA Championship, the PGA of America, were trying to change the name to the PGA, just the PGA. And it was met with mixed reviews. And eventually, and we were said, it's referenced as the PGA, not the PGA Championship. I'm not sure how it's going to be now in 2020 and beyond, But there was some movement, certainly, by the governing body to take championship out of the name and just make it the PGA.
Speaking of that, I think the most, maybe the most misunderstood thing by casual golf fans is the difference between the PGA Tour and the PGA of America. I was talking to my dad about this. My dad follows golf closely. Like, he watches everything. And he did not, I don't know if he didn't realize or understand or whatever, that the PGA of America runs the PGA Championship and the Ryder Cup, and the PGA Tour runs everything else that's, you know, not the Masters, the Open, and the U.S. Open. Like, he just,
you notice he said the Open.
Yeah, I did. I did that on accident, but he just didn't know that.
I will say, it should be called what it is. You should call it the Open because it's the Open. You should call it the U.S. Open because it's the U.S. Open. So
this is sounds like a backpedal, right?
This
here.
Is not a backpedal.
Dion in his prime.
I'm not going out there writing the British Open in script, in text, whatever you want to call it.
Script? What are you talking about?
Hieroglyphic calligraphy.
Yeah, I write on scrolls. But I just think that the British Open makes more sense.
Okay. Real quick, Kyle, when you type tour outside of PGA Tour, do you find yourself capitalizing it?
No, I get so annoyed that it's capitalized. Why is it capitalized? Why is the Players Championship? I feel like I'm being yelled at.
Yeah.
Here's a question I have on this, because I've dealt with this recently. When you're talking about somebody who's won the Players Championship and you're writing, Kyle, this is to you, because we don't know what to do when we're writing on our scrolls. Do you say the 2018 the Players Championship or the Players Champion? Is it the 2018 Players Champion? How do you, because the is all capitalized too.
So I've got
the isn't capitalized. The is small.
Is it?
Yeah, the has got the capital.
I think that's right. I have strong feelings about some of this stuff, way stronger than golf being a verb. The other one that's problematic is the Memorial Tournament.
Jeez,
that's
with a small T, right?
With a small T. It doesn't make sense. Like, why is it like that? I don't understand. To answer your question, Greg, I usually, and it probably gets edited out, I go with the most like casual vernacular possible. So not only will I not include the, but I'll just say the Rory was the Players winner. I don't even say Players Championship winner. I'll just say the Players winner in 2019 or whatever.
Because on the PGA Tour schedule, it does say the Players Championship. The is capitalized.
It's part of the part of the Caps Lock Slam. The Zozo, the Players, the whatever.
Northern Trust.
Northern Trust. Yeah.
Hey, is it the Players Championship? I thought it was just the Players.
No, the championship is on the end there.
Yeah. Go ahead, producer Jacob.
I was going to say, in a previous life before I was doing the podcast, a lot of my work was working for CBS Sports HQ, making graphics, doing a lot of golf. And I it's terrible for the community. It was a mutual parting of ways, but good riddance to a military tribute at the Greenbrier. Because yes, fitting that on a lower third with a character limit and working in, you know, every other information in addition to getting the name of the actual tournament, just terrible. Also, the American Express, another terrible tournament name for search engine optimization.
Okay, I see the military tribute at the Greenbrier. I raise you the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open.
Or how about the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard?
There was one, what was it? I think it was I think John Rahm won it. Okay, here it is. Last year, he finished T2. This was on the European Tour. This is the full name of the event. I can't even say all these words. The Estrella Dam NA Andalusia Masters, hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation. Get the hell out of here with that name. That is absurd.
Kyle, I've got one more question for you. So when you in Muirfield Village, Ohio, and you're writing at the memorial, and you start a sentence with the memorial, whatever, is it capitalized to start the sentence?
Yeah, it's got to be that trumps the nonsense of it not being capitalized within the name.
All right, gentlemen. Well, we're going to leave it there. We're going to take a couple of deep breaths and we're going to regroup for next time. But remember, if you want more of this content, we've recorded a lot of evergreen stuff over the past couple of weeks. Colin Morikawa, Ian Poulter, a ton of Masters content. Go back and check that out. And you can listen to it on your smart speaker by asking it to play the First Cut Golf Podcast. Make sure to say the word golf. Apparently, you get some weird results if you don't. So that's not on us. I told you to say golf. I'd like to thank all three of the gentlemen for today. Mark Immelman, that's at @Mark_Immelman. It's Greg Ducharme at The Real GFD. And it's Kyle Porter at Kyle Porter CBS. I'm Rick Gaiman, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.